You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
Okay. All right. We're in the Faith Series. This is part four of the Faith Series. We're going to get into this one. All of the other parts are on YouTube. Again, if you go on YouTube, look up Breakthrough Assembly, you'll be able to find us. If you want to know all of the ones we're doing and when it's due or when they're going to show up, you might want to subscribe to the Breakthrough Assembly channel on YouTube. Click the notification button, click all, that way you'll get notified of all. So when there's a new one coming up, you'll be notified wherever you are. You'll get a notification button that we have gone live as today. Amen. So we're going to get into this one. This one is entitled Faith, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Faith, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. You're about to, okay. All Breakthrough Babies, you can follow Miss Jessie as she will be to the exit sign. So, we just finished up part two on Wednesday of It's All in How You Use It, right? Was that Wednesday? Okay, good. So we're going to get into faith, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I want you to know that when it comes to faith, there are times in faith that it's what I call bad. You're in seasons in faith, and it seems like it's really bad. So I want to share this with you because walking by faith, the Bible says that we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. But sometimes, and I want to make sure that I describe this accurately, that living by faith is not always fun. Do I have any witnesses?
Yeah.
I have a great witness, okay. You know, we talk about all the time, just have faith. Oh, just have faith, just believe. Well, having faith isn't always fun. That's why it's not popular, because it's not easy. And there's a good part of faith. And I want you to, if you stick with me to the end of this, you'll understand the balance of what I'm saying. That faith is a beautiful thing. When you have faith, it's a beautiful thing. More importantly, when you operate in it, it becomes beautiful. But it's not always beautiful. And in stages of it, it doesn't look beautiful, it doesn't feel beautiful, and it doesn't sound beautiful in the things you're doing while you're in it. And if I can be more clear, sometimes when you're living by faith, can I be real transparent today? Because I'm going to do it anyway. That when you are really operating in faith, sometimes you look silly, and I'm going to use another word, stupid. Sometimes when you're really operating in faith, let's talk, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. When you're really operating in faith, somebody should tell you that's crazy. When somebody tells you that what you're doing is crazy, now you're operating in faith because they can see that you're no longer operating in the flesh. The flesh has rules. The flesh says do what's natural. The flesh says do what's natural. Let me translate that. The flesh also says do what's comfortable. Yeah. What's comfortable and what's natural is only comfortable and natural to the flesh. Yeah. It's not comfortable and or natural to the spirit. So when the flesh says do what seems right, that is contrary to the spirit realm. Because what feels right is worldly. It's comfortable. And how many times have God tried to pull you out of your comfort zone and your own flesh fought it? You know what I'm saying? A lot. For me, every day. Every day. There are times that I don't want to do what God wants me to do. And even though I'm going to do it, I don't always do it with a good attitude. We don't talk about that enough. Amen. Sometimes it takes me a little bit longer than normal to fight my flesh, to get my flesh to operate in what God wanted to do. Okay. And so I want to talk about this because there's a good part of faith, there's a bad part of faith, and then there's just an ugly area of faith. This is ugly. You don't feel good. You're fighting an attitude. You've already eaten food, so it's not like you're hangry. It's just because you know the difference between when you're hangry and you're just irritable. You see, sometimes when you're walking with God, you're irritable because there's going to be an ugly part. We're going to get in that. There's an ugly part of faith that you're believing in God and everything has flipped. You don't get along with anybody anymore. You don't see the sun. It's blaring. You see clouds and darkness. You don't want to talk to anybody. And there's just a growl on the inside of you ready to start a fight. So sometimes it looks like you're losing. Hear me. I said it looks like you're losing. Sometimes it looks like you're losing when you're in the ugly part of faith. Because it looks like, when I think about football. Now, you know, I love my Browns, but I also despise them at times. It's become a literal love and hate relationship. Like, I loved them for the first 3 games of last year, and I hated them the last 10. Okay. I put all my orange stuff up. I did. I put it all in the closet. I didn't even want it to be visible. Okay. And so now I'm warming back up to the love. I'm getting, I'm slowly allowing the orange to come out, and I'm embracing not the team, just the color. So I'm slowly wearing a little orange now, getting ready, preparing myself. And so there's an ugly part of the faith. Like last year, I had no faith that the Browns were going to be able to come back and win anything. So sometimes that happens in our life, that we lose faith that we're going to be able to achieve what God said we're supposed to have, and that's victory. See, this is why there's an ugly part. This is why I say this. You should never say, which is something we say all the time, God made me like this. You should never say God made me like this. God didn't make you to be ugly. God didn't make you to be angry. God didn't make you to be rebellious. Okay. Now, life may have, but God didn't. And we have to be able to differentiate the difference between the will of God and the will of the world. The will of the world says embrace your feelings. The will of the world says say how you feel. Okay. The will of the world says let them know how you feel. The Bible says, be angry, which is against what the world says. If you grew up like I grew up, the world just didn't say, let them know. It says, show them by busting them in the face. So I had to learn when I gave my life to Christ that this could no longer be a weapon. And this couldn't even be a weapon. My walk had to become the weapon. And I had to learn how to not squeeze this, and I had to learn how to not open this. However, me putting this down and closing this made me look the one word in my hood you couldn't use that word. Anthony, you know where I am. Weak. Being quiet made me look weak to myself. God didn't say, boy, you look weak. But my flesh did. My flesh said, you seem soft. And if you were back in the hood, they would bust you up just for looking soft. And God says, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. So God says, "What? When you look crazy to the world, you look good to me." So the more we learn how to control this, this is why I've taught for going on 20 years about the filter system. Learning how to have a filter system so everything that because some things you can't stop what happens in here. But you can control it by the time it comes down here, the filter to either to modify what you're going to say or not say nothing at all if it's not lovely. Are you getting what I'm saying? People think that, Pastor, it must be easy to be you. You have no idea of number one, if you think that it's easy being me, I question if you're a Christian. Got real quiet there, wife. If you think it's easy being me, I question being a Christian because I don't even think it's easy being you. And so if God has called me to even a higher place than basic Christianity, how can it be easy when that's the person that's praying for you, fighting for you in spirit realm, and some things you don't even know? Amen. Are you getting it? So there's a good, there's a bad, and then there's an ugly. And sometimes when you're believing, it's ugly. When you're believing, sometimes people walk out on you when you believe when it's ugly. People disconnect with you when it's not popular. People disconnect with you when they can't see. See, it's when it's all thrills, people are like, woo, breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. But what happens when you're in a series? See, it's cute the first couple of messages. You're like, we're in a series, but what happened when you're like part five? You're like, well, when is this thing going to be over? How much more faith can we learn? What are you making up, Pastor? And that's in life. In every situation, you get cute, you get fun. That's why I say, you know, relationships, I always say, what do I say about a relationship? But what's my key phrase? Put time on it. Put time on it. Time will reveal everything. Words will reveal nothing. Time. Put time on everything. But you have to put time on your faith. You can't say, like my Marina, that my Marina, she know I love her to death. But you can't say that I'm believing, but I need it now. She's getting past that. We're praying for her. Okay. But what you don't understand is she's a strong baby. You're a cute baby. You're cute baby. You're a strong baby. You know those babies that at one they're walking and ready to eat eggs? That's like Marina. What I mean by that is sometimes you forget because of the faith that she had the short time she's been with the Lord. And sometimes life has to remind you of where you are. And it's not a knockdown, it's a build up. To let you know where you've done. So in faith, there's a good part of it, there's a bad part, and then there's an ugly, and we're going to address that today. And so I needed to take about 10 minutes to be able to describe that. Because, listen, believers, and let me talk seasoned believers for a minute. Stop thinking that you have seen it all. What she said. Stop thinking that you've done it all. If you've done it all, why are you still here? Why are you still breathing? There's more to learn, okay? All of us, this is why I say all the time, I love learning. I love being with different people. I love hearing different perspectives, not crazy perspectives, just different, okay? So we're going to get into this one. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. We've been in that, and that's the key. We were in 12 last week, and you guys were like, Pastor, are we ever going to get to 11? I mean, how are you going to skip 11? And we're talking about faith. You got to have patience, man. In this thing, I need you to know it all. Amen. How many people are fighting being a know-it-all in the sanctuary right now? Come on, be honest. Oh, okay. So we have a couple. Come on, Mike. You're gonna come on. I mean, don't lie in the sanctuary, Mike. But you know, can I tell you this? That's something. Sometimes there are things in Christianity that we're gonna fight until we take our last breath. There are certain things you're gonna fight to your last breath. But when you can admit it that you're a know-it-all, you know that's a problem that you're going to have to fight maybe all your life. But it's one way to kill that when you don't want to be a know-it-all anymore. But most know-it-alls love being a know-it-all. Am I right? See? Because when you don't know it all, you feel weak. And know-it-alls don't like feeling weak. Because when you're weak, you're regular. And you can't control everything. And know-it-alls love to be in control. And when know-it-alls lose the control, they lose their mind. Look at the air just came right out of this family right there. But let me ask you this. I'm not going to ask you. Do you like being a know-it-all? Nobody believes you. Nobody in the sanctuary believed you. Even the visitors was like, no. You come on, Joanne. We felt that lie coming out. Yeah. That was so not convincing. We know, we're telling you, you like it. You know, a know-it-all, when something comes up, a know-it-all says, well, let me tell you this. Is that not Mike? See? The good thing about it is when we can find out what the problem is that we have to battle, you have the will to fight it or not. You get the decision. I like it. This is why I say all the time, there's some things about us that we like that God doesn't. And then when you find out, now it's like, what you going to do with it? Because your free will kicks in. You're like, my know-it-all has gotten me through college. Me being a know-it-all has got me where I am. But what about if God doesn't want to keep you where you are? Hebrews 11:1. It'll pop up in the screen in a minute. It'll be like poof. We'll practice later on the poof. It says now. What does now mean? I talk about this all the time. Present. How present? What does that mean? In a second. So what we just talked about, that's what? So everything we talked about until now is past. Okay. So, but what about if you're still dwelling on it? So you're no longer in the now. How many of us are still stuck on something that happened before? Because now you're not present now. See, the trick of the mind is you have to recognize, where am I? Am I in the now or am I back then? See, the thing is, what about if something happened this morning and it's still on your mind? How can you be present in the spirit of the Lord when you're focused on what you can't change? This is why I said all the time that when you put this down and you close this and you focus on your walk, if you're walking now, you're not walking in the past. And when you're walking in the past, you can't get to where God wants you to go because technically you're walking backwards. So you're walking, but you're not going anywhere God wants you to go. So many of us, we're walking, but we're walking backwards because we're walking in things that's already happened that we can't change. Are you getting this? Amen. Now faith. Now, we have broken down the definition of faith. You're going to have to go back to the other three parts to dig into that. We don't have time because we're too far into it. But it says now faith is the substance of things what? What my question is, what are you hoping for? What are you hoping for? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. So if you're walking in faith, you're hoping for something that you can't see. Honestly, sometimes you're hoping for something in yourself that you can't see the change in you yet. See, how many of you really have faith that God can get you to where God said you're going to be? But you know, the thing is, you got to have enough faith in you that you can stand up in the midst of the storms. See, a lot of you put your hands up, but I bet a lot of you don't have faith that you can stand in the midst of the storm. We cheat and say, I have faith in God. But how many people say that you have faith that you're going to be able to stand? It's, what does that really mean? What that means is, I'm hoping that through it all, I'm going to stand strong in what God said, in spite of my limitations. In spite of my limitations, when you know your limitations, we're all limited. Those that think they're not, I have nothing else to say to you. God bless. It was good seeing you. But I'll move on to the others. You got to hope for something, but there can't be any evidence. Can I say it the way I want to say it? How many of you are messed up? You got some messed up issues. I got one. That's it. Thank you. That was a slow reaction. See, when you recognize, see, this is the thing. This is what, can I tell you the truth? This is why Jesus came here. He came not for you to have life, but life more abundantly. He wanted to show you the life you thought you were living that was so good is nowhere near where it can go. But you have to be able to see yourself better. There's some people in here, you're struggling. There's some jacked up parts of your life. Can I tell you something? That's okay if you walk with God with it.
That's right. Come on now.
But we've never been taught that. We've been taught we have to be perfect. That is false doctrine. That's false doctrine. As human beings, it's impossible for us to live a perfect life, but we're to strive for it. To strive for perfection. But we can't be perfect because we are of a sin nature. It doesn't give us permission to sin, but it gives us the green light to keep the light on the sin to always remind us there's sin in this thing. So don't get comfortable. Amen? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for it's the evidence of things not seen. Some of us get frustrated when we can't see something. Some of us get frustrated when we want it, but we can't see it. That shouldn't frustrate you. It should actually excite you because it's like God dangling something like this. And as you take a step forward, he takes a step back. And you take another step and he does this. He wants you to keep going forward to get used to walking in something you can't see, but you're believing that you're going to get to it. There's a point of your life that you have to be able to say that I've had some messed up things happen in my life. There's a point that you have to say, my family is messed up. I'm the way I am because of how I grew up, but I don't want to stay this way. You have to have faith to believe that God's going to pull some things out of you. You don't have to stay that way and say, this is just how our family is. You can say, I want to step out of that family and I want to get into the family of God. You can say that I believe that you just didn't die on the cross just for nothing for me to go to heaven, but you also died to come into me and change the messed up stuff on here, and I give you the messed up stuff, and I'll never be perfect, but I want to give you my mess and walk with you in my mess until slowly you start cleaning me up. I'll never be what I would love to be, but I'll be better than I thought I would be. That's the thing of faith. See, the good part of faith is there's an area, there's a beauty in faith. There is a dirt and cleanser all at the same time in faith. It's never perfect. See, the good thing is God did the work for you. The bad part is you're going to have to walk in faith when you know you don't deserve it at times. You got to walk through the guilt. You got to walk through the shame. You got to walk through the mistakes. You know you messed up, but you got to walk through it anyway. You got to walk through it knowing you got to pass. You're going to be reminded of things you did, but you got to stay strong. That's having the faith to stand when you know, when you're seeing all of these limitations and you have to look past the limitations and say, he's still calling me.
Right. Come on. Amen.
Verse number two. For by it the elders obtained a good report through faith. Hear me. Verse number three is very important. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Stop right there. Right there. If you don't believe that the worlds were framed by God, you don't have faith. Period. It's telling us that you can talk to the scientists, you can talk to them, but let me go elementary and tell you the easiest way to believe it is to have faith that what I said is true. Period. Because that's the danger zone. The danger zone is if you keep needing proof, the flesh is, are you going to say, well, what about this? And the curiosity is going to keep coming up because we're fleshly. And then everything is going to need to be proven to us. And there's going to be a point in your life that there's not going to be a fact checker. And you're going to have to walk in it with something that you never had because you needed documentation or proof to get you there. And you say, now I have proof. I can stand in that thing. There's a part of your life that God says, I want you to stand in me, not in evidence. I want you to stand in me, not in documents. I want you to stand in me, not in a group of individuals with high intelligence that's come to a conclusion and that made you comfortable. Sometimes God wants you to be uncomfortably uncomfortably satisfied that it is God with nothing else. Because there's going to be a part of your life, if you keep needing proof, there's going to be a rocky part that God won't show you proof in some area to find out will you walk by faith. The three is one of the most important scriptures in the Bible because it's telling you if you can't believe how it started, you'll get lost in the middle. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the, hear me, just not by God. Just not by God, yes, but by the word of God. That's more important. It just didn't say by God, but by the word of God. Because if you can believe that the worlds were framed by the word of God, then you'll start getting credence to the word and say there's power in the word of God. That if the worlds could be framed by the word of God, then God can frame anything by his word. Also, this is why I said before we talk about I love the way it says the worlds were framed. This is why you said, Pastor, do you believe that there is alien activity somewhere? Listen, I believe that there's some stuff in planets, but as long as they don't knock on my door, I won't knock on theirs. I believe this is the worlds were framed. I believe that there are parts of this world that God did not intend for us to mess with, okay? Same way he didn't intend Adam and Eve to mess with that tree. The tree was there, and sin was available, but he didn't want them being a part of it. So, but it don't have nothing to do with me. He put me on this world. I'm going to live in this world. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? By the word of God. God can frame it for you by his word. God can say it by his word. God will frame your new existence by his word. God can create a new word for you, a new world for you by his word. God's word can say something and it become by his word. God can say you're going to have this and it will become by his word. God can say you're going to no longer be this person. Are you going to be this person by his word? Why? Because he spoke to Adam by his word, and then he put breath in it. So you have to understand that God's word is God. He is his word. His word is him. He creates by his word. His word is powerful. That's why when God tells you that you are somebody, you have to deny how you lived when people say you are not. When you've lived a life where people didn't see you as anybody with any power, and then you come to church and God speaks to you, you say, well, just that man spoke to you. That man didn't speak to you. That man don't know you. But the God that's in that man told you what you're supposed to know, and now he's framing your new word. Now you can walk out of here and say, yeah, that man told me something, and you're going to lose out on the promise of what God called. But if you recognize God spoke to that man, you don't ever have to talk to me again, but take what came out the mouth. Don't take the frame of the man. Take the word so that can frame your existence. But it's through faith. That's why the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. That's why. This is why I said I have no idea what God's going to do by the end of this year. But for him putting us in this long series of faith, there's some thing, there's something crazy God's going to want this church to believe. And individually. But it won't come to pass for us without a deep measure of faith. It has to be in us. This is why I said by the end of this thing, we should be oozing out. Dripping with faith, not doubt, not questions, not I need it to be proven to me. If God said it, yes it is, and I'm okay with it looking crazy because I've learned through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Are you getting this thing? I told you before, faith isn't popular. Faith will make you look weak. Faith will make you look crazy. Faith will make you look like you're not intelligent. And people that feel like they are intelligent will look at you and say, you're weak. Weak-minded people need faith. And I would tell you that Christians, well, let me say not Christians, believers in Christ are not weak. Believers in Christ are the strongest individuals there are. Because to walk by faith and not by sight goes against everything that's natural to us. Okay, I thought I'd get a higher amen than that, but okay, you just never know.
Amen.
Jesus. Luke, you just never know. I mean, you can try. Think about it in your head. I understand, Paul. But believers, not Christians. The world calls this a Christian nation. It's not. Believers in Christ are the strongest individuals because you're believing in something you can't see, and everybody's going to say you're stupid, you're crazy.
Amen.
To be strong, to keep doing it when everybody else is saying you're crazy and you're weak, that's a strong person.
Amen.
Weak people do what's easy. Non-believers, that's when you're weak. Because you don't have the strength to go against the grain. You don't want to look silly, so you blend in. A weak-minded person, God says, I'm over here, but the crowd is over there. And you say it's popular over here with the crowd, so the weak person goes over here. See, that's natural. Strong is God's over here. What's common is over here. What makes sense is over here. But God said, I will give you something you've never had. I will change your life and change the life of your family. A strong person says, okay, I'll take that. I have no evidence, but I have faith that what you said is true.
Amen.
How many people in here, you've been called weak or stupid or crazy at least 2 times in your life because of your walk with Christ? Be honest. If you have really walked with Christ, you should have. You should have. How many of you, your family was like, you have lost your mind? Luke, put your hand down because we already know. But because of Luke's craziness, salvation has come to the majority of his family. You're going to tell me there's not crowns waiting on Luke in heaven. Because as crazy as he looked, now I told you before, when Luke came to this church, he looked like a serial killer. The first night, Luke, I will never forget the day you walked in this church. I will never forget it. You walked in here in a black trench coat, long thing. You remember that? He sat in the back of the church, a big book bag that we didn't know what was in it. At that time, I didn't know how many people in here held guns. He sat in the back, and all while I'm preaching, I didn't know if that was the last sermon I was going to preach. Seriously. With the way this world is and the way he looked, Luke is 7'8", a long trench coat, book bag, sitting in the back. I said, Lord, if this is my last one, I'm going out with a bang. And then when service was over, he came to me. I was like, Lord, this might be it. I'm like, he may open it up. Honest to God truth, I thought he was going to open it up and just light us up. He told me how much he loved the Lord. I was like, okay. He kept talking. And the more I talked to him, I was like, okay. He does love God. He just looks crazy. And the thing with that is he didn't change who he is to accommodate the comfortability of others. And that's what God wants for us. He may look crazy, but he's not crazy at all. He's crazy for the Lord. And even his family thought he has lost his mind at times. Okay. But yet, the faith that's on the inside of him, every time that man saw me, he kept saying, "Pastor, pray for my family. Pray for this one." It started out with his mom. He's like, "Oh my God, pray for my mom." I'm like, "Okay, I'm praying for her." Then he's like, "Oh my God, pray for Katie." I'm like, "Okay." Then he saved the best for last, these two. He was like, because then he needed his mom and Katie to come here. And was like, then they all kept saying, "Oh, pray for Marina and Mike." I was like, "Well, what's wrong with them?" But then I found out. Boop. I had to build that one up. But through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. Through faith. Through faith. You're beeping. Earlier in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 38. Go up to 38. There's another now. There's another now. 10:38. There's another now. It says, are we there? Now what? Now the just shall live by what? The just. Can I ask you this? Who is the just? You can just say it. It's not Wednesday. Yeah, you can just. Yeah. So it's the believers. We're the just. Okay, we're the just, which represents justice. We're the ones that's right. We bring the justice. We're the favorable one. Now the just shall live by what? The believers should not live by flesh, reason. We should live by faith, and we should be the example of the difficulties that we're believing when it's not popular. Okay, when you need somebody to help you in your faith, you should be around people that you know has lived it. Not just learning it. Lived it. Okay? So, it says in 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, hear me, people don't like to read the scripture, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Did you get that? It says in 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. God is telling us, the just, you can live by faith, but sometimes, this is why I say, life gets your butt. And you draw back from faith, and you say, "I don't believe that." And you do this, "I don't believe that." And you do this. It don't look like you're doing this, but this is what God sees. Because when he says it, and you say, "I don't believe this, I'm not doing that." God loses his pleasure with you because God says, you know what God wants? He wants you to say, "I have no idea what any of that means, but Lord, I take you, hear me, at your word." See, this is that Job type stuff. See, there's some times in your life that you are going to have to believe God when everybody around you is saying you're crazy and your flesh is saying you're crazy, and you have to be able to say, "Lord, I've had crazier words." Oh. Man, this is when I would say, "I wish I had a church. I wish I had a church." See, I wish I had a church of some believers that God has said some crazy things to you, and you were like, "Man, that's crazy," and then it happened. And then God says something else. And you were like, "Whatever, Pastor." And you're like, "Oh, my God, it happened." Come on. And then after a while, he says something else. And you're like, "Okay, you done lost it." And then it happened. And then you recognize, "Oh, my God, there's something to this day." God's not looking for you to be comfortable. God's looking for you to be faithful. There's a good, there's a bad, and there's an ugly to it. Sometimes God wants to give you a word that's going to take you to your knees to pray for another level of faith to believe that. Sometimes God will allow something to be said to test your faith to find out. You're going to stand in it, you're going to walk away from it. God has said the most crazy things to me. I remember my first I think it was my first message, maybe second message, and I had a drummer who happened to be my cousin, and happened to be your brother, and this was a really raw Pastor Bobby. I was 33. I was raw. I was not mature in the things of God at all. It was raw. Whatever God said to me, it came out. No filter. And it was a lot of, the church was full. It was but it was full. And all I could do, because I couldn't, I didn't have the maturity, and I certainly didn't have the wisdom to be able to decipher how to pull myself away from the elements. I could feel everything. Now I can control it. So I can know what's going on, and it doesn't consume me like it used to. But then I had no tools. It was so much sin, and my cousin was a part of it so much, so God spoke to me, and God told me if he didn't change his ways quickly, he was going to die. I said it right over the pulpit. I saw the look on his face. Shocked him. He was never the same after that. But do I regret saying it? I regret saying it in the manner that I did, in the window that I did. It was so many different ways I could have said it. I certainly should have pulled him off to the side when service was over with and told him that. Praise and worship was going on. I mean, it just finished. He was about to do a drum roll. And I'm telling the man, God said, if you don't change your ways, you're going to die. That's not the moment to do that. But I say that to say, with faith has to come a level of maturity. And there needs to for us to grow in it, to grow in things. Now, I do know that was God having me to say that. But what I also know is the moment was wrong. So much so I threw off the whole service. I spoke. Nobody could even pay attention to anything I said. Everybody kept looking at my cousin the whole time, looking at his facial reactions. He was messed up. They were messed up. People were messed up. I ended up being messed up. Like, dang, I blew it. I messed up. But then I said, Lord, let me learn from this. Even though I was young and all those things. So what I'm saying is there's an ugly part of faith, too, because you should learn from some things. And you should have faith that, Lord, I'll do better in the next opportunity. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's an ugly part of believing and learning. There's an ugly part of you've messed up and you're like, I'll be better. You know, there's an ugly part. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't look good. You know, your reputation may be tarnished for a minute. But if you keep believing, not in you, but in him, and you keep holding on, he will continue to work with you as long as you stay true to what he is telling you to do. And you got to let go of the mistakes that you made. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, that cousin, years later, told me, years later, like 10 years later, he came back to the church and said, everything you said was true. He said, you know, I was wrong. I was so much in sin and all this stuff. And he wanted to apologize. I still apologize to him. I said, it was the word of God, but it was the wrong timing. It was the wrong place. And also, we hugged it out. And even later on, he even came back even in this building. But I want you to know, there's an ugly part to faith. Faith isn't pretty all the time. Right. And so I want you, what are you saying, Pastor? Sometimes you are living in faith, but you're learning by faith lessons. Yeah. Are you getting that? Okay. So it says now the just shall live by faith. We, as the people of God, can fall back from faith, and we can fall out of favor with God. Don't think just because you've been with God for a long time that no matter what you do, you're still in favor with God. No, we have to earn that good faith. Okay. Faith without works is dead. Okay. So God will allow us to go through many different stages of faith. Every new area has different levels, hear me, of difficulty. Every new level has another level of difficulty. Every new level of faith has another level of difficulty. The more God trusts you, the more it will be difficult in faith. See, sometimes you think you can just wake up, get your cup of coffee, and you're living in Faithville. And so God will change your zip code on you. to switch you up, to make you think. There's other things that you're going to have to believe on, believe in. And how many people in here are you're believing in something that it seems crazy that you're believing that it's going to work? That many people? Seriously? Really? Wow. You actually seem convincing. Oh, you can put your hand down. Oh, so yeah. That means a lot, huh? Sometimes God will allow us to go through another level of difficulty that it seems like it's just us believing it. And the people around us are going to begin to think we have lost our mind. That's a beautiful place of faith. But it feels bad. Because can we be honest? When you're walking by faith, you want a whole team around you saying, "Woo, go. I believe it. I see it." The worst thing to do is believe in something and people are like, "You know it's not going to happen, right?" That's horrible. It's horrible. Or people may not say it, but they're giving you the face like, "You know that's stupid." In this thing, I feel something prophetic coming up the pike. God said, or he said, because he ain't say it yet. There's some people in here that what you have believed on is happening now because of your faith. Now, that was a cute amen. But there's somebody in here. See, God says this is not a cute moment. There's somebody in here that to the depths of your core, you've been believing on something. And you've been on an island by yourself. And God says because of your faith, that thing is happening today, right now. See, one thing about it. See, those that haven't been around me long enough, I don't need any amens when I say something, especially when I'm saying something to God. But when God takes me on prophetic and he says something, that cute little amen, if I was you, I would be indignant right now. If I were you and I knew privately I've been in a war zone of faith and God told me that the thing that I've been dealing with in my basement is coming to pass, I would be shouting, jumping, screaming, and crying. But see, the problem with us humans, you want to be cute and unrecognized. You don't want nobody to know you've been suffering. The sad thing is, God has shown me two people that he's talking about, and I can't even acknowledge you. I don't even know why he's letting me see you. Because I wish he wouldn't, because it's easier for me to speak this without knowing some people that he's talking about. Can I give you a little pastoral advice? Never let your flesh stop you from giving God the praise he deserved at that moment. I'm just going to move on. God will allow us to become stretched at times that we don't feel that we can make it through without him. There is a stretching season that is taking place in faith and in this area. And God wants you to know you're not being stretched too far. God wants you to know that you will make it. God wants you to know that you can handle it. God wants you to know that this isn't too much. God wants you to know that he's already seen the victory. But the thing that you have to understand, now that you know God is telling you that, you have to do the work to get to the victory. He has said that the victory is yours, but now he's not going to carry you to the victory. He has promised you the victory, but you have to do the work. What's the work? Operating and walking in faith, in the good part of the faith. When faith, see, it's one thing when God says something, you're like, "Lord, I believe it." But then the bad part is when you start doing it, you get tired. The ugly is when it looks like the wheels have fallen off and you're still believing. Can we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll be out of here in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. But this is a particular one that is not just to all of the Corinthians. This is specifically specified for like the ministers and the stewards of the church. So this is catered to them. He's speaking to them. And in verse number 10, he says, we are what? We are what? You know how we talked about earlier and we said that sometimes you're going to look silly, like a fool or stupid. When you're really doing what God wants you to do, you're going to look stupid to people. You're going to look like a fool. They're going to say that you're being a fool, okay? But you can't take that personal. Or if you do take it personal, you should be able to rejoice because that means you're really doing what God wants you to do. Amen. Now, it says in 4:10, it says, for we are fools for what? For Christ's sake. But ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are what? See, despised, dishonored, there has to be a point in your life that you're going to look, you're going to feel weak, or there needs to be, let me say that right, there needs to be a part that you're going to feel weak, but no, you feel weak, but you're not considered weak to God. There's going to be a time in your faith that it's going to feel like that it makes no sense. And there has to be a time in our life that what we're doing doesn't make sense to us, but it makes total sense to him. The opposite spectrum is when things have to make sense to us, it makes no sense to him. When we're like, I won't do it unless it makes sense to me, it displeases him when it has to make sense to us before we do it. But the opposite spectrum is when he says it and it doesn't make sense to us and we do it and it doesn't make sense, we please him. Does that make sense? This goes against, I said, everything. A lot of times a believer has to do things that's unnatural to even ourselves. That's natural to the spirit realm, not natural to the earthly realm. You with me? Go to Job 13. Go to Job 13. Oh, Lord have mercy. Job 13. This was a season, in chapter 13, this was a season that Job had to hold his peace. This was a season that Job had to hold his peace. What do you mean by hold your peace? Job was being tested. I mean, things were being thrown at him. Do I have a witness that you've had seasons like that?
Amen.
That things are coming at you? And more importantly, when you're trying to do the right thing and more things come at you. Chapter 13. So this is a famous quote from Job that we quote without knowing where it comes from. Job 13, verse number 15. Job had to hold his peace. And in chapter 13, verse number 15, Job said this phrase, though he slay me, yet will what? Will I trust him? But I will maintain my own ways before him. He's saying, though it seems like I'm being killed, I'm going to trust him. Though it seems like I'm getting beat down, I'm going to trust him. Though it seems like nothing is going right, I'm going to trust him. Though none of this makes sense, I'm going to trust him. Though it seems like I didn't deserve this, I will trust him. That's what we call, ladies and gentlemen, the ugly part of faith. Trusting him when it doesn't feel good. Trusting him when it seems dark. Trusting him when it seems like the lights haven't been on in a while. Trusting him when it seems like I keep messing up. My intentions were right, but what I did was wrong. I didn't mean to do that. I keep slipping. I keep messing up. My mouth just keeps saying stuff. Oh, I wish I had. Does anybody know what I'm saying? That you didn't wake up saying, I'm going to mess up today. You didn't mess up saying, I'm going to start a fight today. You didn't mess up saying, I'm going to cause some discord. But somehow, something happened, and yet, listen, there was so I can relate to Job. There was a time in my life, beginning pastor, for whatever reason, what would come out of my mouth wasn't what was in my heart. And I'd have misunderstandings with people. And I'd say something, and I'm like, dang, that came out wrong. I didn't mean it that way. And then, and so then we're talking, and I say, and the conversation's going well. And then 40 minutes later, one thing came out of my mouth that messed up the whole conversation. And I'm like, dang, I need to learn how to talk. So I went back to God, and I said, Lord, help me. I did. I went to him and said, help me to learn how to speak, and whatever is in here that's not right, help me get it out. Show me what's wrong in me. And that's when he said, let me teach you something, son. And he taught me the filter system. Because to this day, I still have thoughts that come in my mind, but those thoughts won't come out of my mouth. Amen. Have you ever, I know there's a few of you, but have you ever messed up some stuff before, said some things, and you didn't have, it wasn't your intention to mess it up, but yet you did it anyway, and then you had to learn how to recover? I got to a point that I was tired of saying I'm sorry. I got to a point that I was tired of having to say, well, that's not what I meant. So I had to learn how to communicate and be effective in my communication. I say this because as we wrap this up, faith, there's a good, there's a bad, there's an ugly. And Breakthrough, we need to know that. Because sometimes things don't feel good and you are operating in faith. But sometimes you're going to be lied to and say you're not walking by faith. As long as you believe what God is saying and you're not coming at God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As long as you believe what he's saying and you're doing it, you are walking by faith. But walking by faith doesn't mean you have to be like. Walking by faith doesn't mean you got to wake up, good morning, Lord, good morning. That's not walking by faith. Walking by faith doesn't mean that every day you got to have the joke of the day. Am I helping anybody? Can I tell you the way I want to tell you? See, you can have the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord doesn't mean that you got to be like. Having the joy of the Lord sometimes just means you're not saying negative things. Hold on. But you are feeling them. I need to help somebody. See, sometimes you're feeling negative things, but you're not saying them, and you have the joy of the Lord because the joy of the Lord is keeping you from saying what you feel. Oh. It does not mean. I want to help us before we end this faith of good, the bad, the ugly. I want to clarify some things because we've been taught wrong that you have to wake up loving life, loving your neighbors. Where did that come from? That's not in the Bible at all. It says you can be angry, but sin not. You can, listen, you cannot like your spouse. But you can love them, but not like them. Every day you don't like your spouse. Oh. There is no place in the Bible that God says you got to like your spouse every day. He says we're supposed to love them and love them like Christ loved the church. Amen. You think Christ like everything we do? But we know he loves us. But you think he likes everything we do? So we have to understand, sometimes you're not operating in faith. So sometimes if you don't believe God, you're not operating in faith. If it has to be proven to you, you're not operating in faith. If you got to see the results first before you do it, it's not faith. You don't need faith to see the result. If it got to be explained to you, shown to you, that's not faith before you do it. If you got to see that it's going to work before you get in it, that's not faith. Sometimes you got to have faith that it's going to be beautiful when it's ugly. Sometimes it looks ugly, sounds ugly, feels ugly, but it will be beautiful with your faith. And sometimes the only way he's going to give you beauty for your ashes is for you to walk by faith in that day. The beauty is behind the ugliness. You're in a bad point in your life, but you can be in a good point of your faith. Because you can please God, and he will help you get to where you need to be if you believe in him, not in what you see. Because what you see is temporary. There's some people in this Bible that I absolutely love. And the reason I love them is because I can relate to them. Man, I can relate to Job. I can relate to Joseph. Joseph is one of my favorite characters. I can relate to Joseph. I can relate to David. See, I know what it's like that when you have earthly desires, but they're not God's desire for you. And you have to fight those. I know what it's like that the God to call you and have a calling, and then you got to deal with other people because of your calling, and they don't even like you, and they're competing with you, and you're just trying to live saved. You're not in a competition with them. They're in competition with you, and you're just trying to get yourself together. So there's a good part of it. There's a bad part of it, and then there's an ugly part. And I pray today that somebody learned something today about faith that just because I'm in an ugly phase of faith doesn't mean I'm not in faith. Just because I'm in a bad part of my faith doesn't mean I'm not in faith. It's just not the good part. It's not all. See, sometimes the sunshine and Skittles is the cute part. But that is a temporary part. Sometimes in faith, sometimes you're going to cry yourself to sleep. Sometimes you don't have anybody that can relate to what you're saying. Sometimes, and there's a part of faith, you got to go through it by yourself. There's a part nobody's going to believe or care or even see the hurt that you're going through. Are you getting that?
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as we conclude, the good, the bad, and the ugly, what I pray today is that not only have you learned something, an extra of faith, but you've become stronger in the area of faith. And the enemy can't come at you like he did before this message. Now the just shall live by it. Live by it. Live by it. Live. There's three stages. You have to identify what stage you're in. Seasons change. But hold up your head. And can I say this? That may seem a little contradictory to what I just said the last 10 minutes ago. Just because it's bad doesn't mean God's not good. Just because it's ugly doesn't mean God's not working in your life. Just because it doesn't feel good doesn't mean it's not turning out to be good. It's not being made to be good. So you can smile even though when you don't want to. You don't have to look like what you're going through. And that's the part that I said. May seem contradictory. I did say you don't have to wake up. But you should remind yourself of that God is with you. And he's working it out. And it's a bad season. But at least it's a bad season with him.
Amen.
You're not by yourself. So don't give up because it's bad. Don't give up because it's ugly. Hold on. The good is going to come. It starts out good and it's going to end good, but you got to go through the bad and the ugly. Amen. There's nobody in here that has truly walked out some things of faith. Walked out only good. Because the test comes in the bad and the ugly part of faith. God allows the test to come to show you there's levels to this thing. So just because it's bad, don't you abandon your faith. Just because it's ugly doesn't mean you abandon it. Are you understand? I say that to Katie had inspired me. One day, the lovely Katie walked up. Church was over, at least I thought. I didn't even see her walk up. She's done that a lot. I don't know how she does that. Turn around, she's just there. Maybe being an older sister, you had to learn how to, you know, creep up on your sister. You ready to pop them or something. I don't know. But she came up here. I turned around. She was here. And she says, Pastor, God told me that I have to get baptized. I said, okay. Well, when do you need to get this done? She looked me dead in the eye and says, like, now. And I'm like, well, Katie, we don't have a pool right now, so we're gonna have to work some arrangements. But her faith, I could feel her faith. I could feel it. See, the thing is that she said, I've been reading, and she's like, and God told me to go here. I was reading, God had me read this. And then all of a sudden, God says, now you got to get baptized. I said, okay, and what did we do? She made the whole church set up a baptism for her. It was like, if anybody else want to get baptized, that's fine, but it's really for her. That's the faith that will move mountains. I was inspired by, she didn't question and say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't really know if that was God or not, so pray about it. She didn't ask me to pray about it. She was like, Pastor, can you make it happen? And just give me the dates of when I need to be there. That's what God wants for us. My last challenge. There's about 5 people in here that every time God says something, shows you something, you give a reason of why you can't do it. 3 of you guys said it's financial. This time he's not showing me people. But every time, and this is entrepreneurial type stuff, and you keep saying you don't have the help, you don't have the money. I hear it so clearly. Wow. I'm starting to understand why God is having us in this faith series, because the more I do this stuff, he's starting to operate in this prophetic stuff real quick. And you got to have faith to believe this. It's making sense to me now. Remember how we got to be in something before God starts opening the doors of why? God says, 2 of the 5 people here, if he gives you another idea about your business and future things, if he gives you another idea and you bring up the money you don't have, God says, I'm going to close it before it opens. There's stuff that's going to happen in this year. This is what I call, what I used to call back 15 years ago. I called it back then, I call it now, stupid faith. You're going to have stupid faith and have your own testimony of God did it. God did it. God did it. All I did was accept what he said. You know, when you hear people in their crazy testimonies of what God did, God wants to do the same thing with you. But how big is your faith? How big is your faith? God challenged me something a couple days ago. He challenged me and he corrected me a couple days ago. And God told me that if my faith doesn't improve quicker than it is, that the church is going to lose out on some things. And I said, here we go again. He told me that I failed something. Actually, he told me I failed 3 different things, and they all were related to faith. And he told me to publicly say it. So I said, okay. First thing God told me was, in this year, I was supposed to go full-time. Well, you guys know I haven't done that yet. Why didn't I go full-time yet? Because the honest truth is, I didn't want to go through the unknowns of trusting God with that kind of income for me and my wife. That's the honest to God truth. That my flesh won. I didn't have the faith to walk away. Now, it was one thing moving from a building and coming over here, because if it doesn't work, hey, we'll find another building. But it's a whole nother thing when all of that income that that job brings in to me and my wife, I didn't have the faith. In other words, I didn't have the faith to believe God would take away the stress. That's the most transparent way I can say it. I didn't have the faith to believe God would make it easy. In my mind, it was going to be difficult. I was going to be stressed out. And I said, I don't want that. So I kept saying, Lord, well, it's still the beginning of the year. I kept saying, Lord, it's not the end of the year yet. So, Lord, it's time. God told me I failed. He wanted me to move when he said it to me. That's the first failure that your pastor did today. And I have to share this with you. There were two people that don't go to this church that God had put them on my heart strong. Two people that I know. And I was supposed to tell. First of all, I hate doing this. And you know that too. Two people, I was supposed to tell them they were supposed to leave their church and come to this one. You know I don't do that. Two people. And I'm going to tell you, I just chickened out. Yes, me, the man of faith, chickened out. Because I know both of their situations, and I didn't want them thinking it was me that was saying it. So I didn't do it. I failed in faith. Three times, and it's just April. And that's your pastor. I'm sharing that to say, we are in this thing together. We mess up. Now, we're about to get ready to May. And God says, nothing has changed with those three things. God says, you're still on your job, and you haven't said anything to those three people. So what I'm asking you to do is, as we grow together, because if I don't grow, we can't grow as the shepherd. I need you to pray for my strength, because obviously my flesh was stronger than my faith in that area. And you know, I kept saying, make a new book in Hebrews for me before I go. So there's work to be done in all of us. Are we getting this? So I'm asking you, can you pray for me? Because if God shared that I failed three times, I don't want to fail this church. Because God put us through a faith series. There's some, I don't even know what God has planned, but I'm prepared for it. Because I know, God teaches us things, and then after he teaches us, it happens. It has to be something crazy that God's going to have to believe us. And we're going to have to believe it and ooze and be like, we're going to do it. I know the world going to think we're crazy, but we're going to do it. So I need you to pray for me as I pray for you in your areas. Is there anybody else that in some areas of faith you failed thus far? If so, let's just pray together. If that's you and you know some things that you didn't pass the faith test, let's just stand wherever you are right now. And we're just going to pray for one another right now. Because in this thing, this is Breakthrough Assembly. This is the church that we should come together. The Bible says, don't forsake the local assembly. And so let's pray together. Let's hold each other up. I'm not asking you to say what you failed on. We're just going to pray about it. We're not going to talk about it. I wanted to share, as the leader, what I failed in and what God showed me I failed in. And I don't want us to fail again. Amen. I want us all to have the boldness to say yes to God and do what God says in spite of how we feel. Amen. Having faith sometimes is scary. It make you seem weak. You're questioning stuff. It's unknown. But I put myself in a predicament that I decided what was going to happen to me. I was like, you know what? If I say this, they're going to think this. Or if I say this, if I leave that job and I do this, it's going to be all the stress. I've made so many images. I lived images in my head that didn't even happen yet. Are you getting this? So if you can relate to what I'm saying, let's break that. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we come together in agreement to break the bondage of fear, of the unknown. We break the bondage of fear when we don't know what's going to happen next. Lord, let us not keep operating in trying to control our life. It's scary when we're not in control, Lord God. And even though we love you, sometimes we're limited by our flesh. So we ask you, Lord, help us kill that flesh and do it afraid. Do it knowing it's you, Lord God. Walking in it knowing it's you, Lord God. So I ask you to help us today as we're all standing in together in agreement, saying, Lord, we want to please you. We don't want to fail. We do want to be used by you. We need to be able to learn how to not only hear you, but obey you and not obey our own fleshly desire. Let us be able to do what you say, even when we don't have peace about it, knowing the peace will come later. Let us agree, knowing we don't have peace, knowing the peace will come later. I thank you that you are an amazing God. You are a wonderful Father. You are such a fantastic provider. I thank you, Lord God. You're so gracious and kind to us. You let us say no to you, and yet you still love us. You let us disagree with you, and yet you still love us. You still call us to the dinner table. So, come into our hearts today. Come into our mind. Help us make better decisions, godly decisions. Let us have a better desire to please you and not ourselves. Walk with you and not walk in our own agenda, in our own comfortability. We pray for that now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Father, I thank you, Father, for this day. I thank you for everyone that's under the sound of my voice. I thank you for having your way, Lord God. I thank you for everyone that's here. I thank you, Lord God, Father, that everyone that's watching, that they feel your presence, that they know it was you. That you've said certain things that they know it couldn't be anybody but you, God. Because they didn't talk to anybody else about it but you. I thank you for setting this day up, preparing us for this day. I thank you for the miracles that are taking place that we don't see the end result of yet, but we know they've been initiated. I thank you, Lord God, Father, for all those that made a conscious decision to come today, to hear you, to be in your presence, Lord. Thank you for everyone that said yes for today and no to the comfortability of the flesh, because we all could have stayed home today. I ask you, Lord God, Father, reign over us and be our God. Help us, Lord God, get past, Lord God, the hurdles that's been in front of us. I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.